So while we're waiting for Rafiq, Rudy, please help yourself to some breakfast as we get settled in. First and foremost, guys, can we have everybody's attention? So first and foremost, I just want to thank the coaches for picking things up for me last night. I'm feeling a little bit better, so I'm going to make my way through the day the best I can, but stay like a semicircle away from me when you come up to talk to me, so don't pass it on. But I can tell you from personal experience, the medics here are wonderful and give you anything you need. And I think I didn't mention, if you do feel ill in any way and you do see the medic right near registration, just let them know you're with ICANN so that they can take care of you and you don't have to put anything out of pocket for your own spending. So just let them know if you are needing something, they'll get that for you with no charge to you. Secondly, before we get into this busy day, in the newcomer session, we did preview this to be kind of the crazy day where if you all are already kind of feeling a little bit uneasy, feeling like yesterday you were always trying to catch up to the sessions and to where everybody was going, and I saw a couple of those comments on Facebook and in emails, that's why we have our coaches. Even if you can't find your coach, you have been introduced to the other coaches. That's why we have the mentors and the alumni at the booth. They're there to help you and help you get directed to the day. So please take full advantage of all of us. The point of the fellowship program is this bonding and this idea that you don't have to wander alone through the hallways and through the sessions, that there's always someone to find to help you out. So Tuesday's not too late to understand that bond and know that we're all here to help you so that this first experience, although overwhelming, won't be a lost experience. And for me, I mean, even if the experience is taking in the idea of ICANN, how crazy and complex it is, and the fact that upon leaving, you have 46 other people who have your back through an alumni mailing list and through Facebook, that's it. That's great. So I know I come down a little bit strict sounding with my laptop down and signing up and get to the session, but my main goal is to make sure that you get the basics out of this first face-to-face ICANN meeting. And some of you are coming here, most of you are coming here, because we have a very elite level. You're coming here from positions of authority, and it must seem really odd that someone is trying to tell you at this point in your professional and adult life where to go and how to act and what to do. Trust me, it feels a little weird for me. But when you're here, we take our other hats off, and we are just fellows. We are just first-timers at an ICANN meeting. We are newcomers to this experience, and so I do encourage you all to embrace that feeling, not the feeling of where you came from, but where you are now, okay? Today we were going to have as our first speaker Rafiq, who is the chair for the non-commercial stakeholder group within the ICANN generic name supporting organization. So I say that so that you can start to feel here where the different families of ICANN are. So the generic name supporting organization, I think some of you are understanding now, it's the policy making part, the policy making arm of ICANN. And within that supporting organization, there are contracted and non-contracted parties. So the contracted parties, the registries and the registrars, are making some money. That's their business. They have a contract with ICANN. In order to be accredited, they have a contract with ICANN. If you, as an end user, want a contract with a registrar like GoDaddy or Two Cows, you sign a contract with them, not with ICANN. So the contracts with ICANN are between a registry.com.net.org.asia and the contract with ICANN and the registrars, GoDaddy and Two Cows. But if you want JaniceLang.com, I have to sign a contract with a registrar to get that. But you don't come back to ICANN and say, I have a problem. You go to your registrar and say, I have a problem, or I want to purchase. So the generic name supporting organization has non-contracted and contracted. So the non-contracted part do not have a contract with ICANN. So that's the intellectual service providers, the intellectual property constituency, the non-commercial stakeholder group, the not-for-profit organizational concerns, and the commercial business constituency. They are all part of the policymaking arm of the non-contracted parties within the generic name supporting organization. So let that kind of sink in, and we'll always go back to the multi-stakeholder model that you can find in the slide set. But that's the basic, and I felt that was important to reiterate today as you go out to find your place to maybe take a seat and listen to the work of those groups. The other group you might see today is the Country Code Naming Supporting Organization. The countrycodes.hk, .sg, .us, they may or may not support ICANN financially. There is no obligation to do so, but they may. They also build some policy, but you will find that they are taking part in all of the same discussions as the generic name supporting organization, again, as I said on Sunday, from a different perspective. And they may prioritize those discussions differently. Geographic regions may have more of a priority on their discussion list and how ICANN looks at geographic regions than the generic name supporting organization, who may be putting their priorities on the future of new GTLDs, because basically that's the policy that they're working on. So when you go to the different rooms, most of the time can hear some of the same things being discussed from a different perspective. And the idea is that my perspective, mine personally, not my company, my university, where I came from, my perspective as a fellow, as an individual? And does that group make me feel welcome and comfortable? And I'll just say that. Do they make me feel welcome and comfortable in expressing my views and sitting at the table? Really important. I've had fellows who go to the commercial business users constituency who are lawyers, who are focused on civil liberties. But they come out and come tell me, that's amazing in there. They really take us by the hand when they find out that we're fellows or newcomers, and they give us all this information about ICANN. They're a great learning place. So great. You may not be able to join them as a constituency, but you can follow their mailing lists. You can enjoy the relationship with the individuals that you met that can help teach and share. And that's the important output coming out of this, that you find people in these groups that are willing to take you in and share information, okay? So it may be a comfort place today. So I impress upon you to take a look about what you would like to take in. Spend a little time in the room. If you start to feel like it's over my head, again, at a coffee break, you can put up your hand or go up to the people and said, I heard you speaking. I'm a fellow, I'm a newcomer, and I'd like to get updated because I feel like you are talking everything that I don't know and I couldn't catch up. Or make a decision partway through the day that you would like to change and go to a different room. Maybe go back to the booth or ask another fellow, where were you spending your time? Okay, that sounds like a better place. Let me come along with you. But please do not just walk away and say, ugh, this is so not for me today. Embrace it and come back around. This afternoon, I will need everyone to come back at 5:30 to Morrison, because we do have two presenters who we couldn't fit into the morning. So the NOMCOM, the nominating committee, and Steve Metallitz from the intellectual property constituency. So I will see you again, if not during the day, at those sessions. And you will find me most of the day sitting with the board. I do remote participation for the board meetings with each of the community groups. So if you need me, that's where you will find me most of the day today. And I'll be very accessible. Rafiq, I have for you, of course I do, as a little background. We had it earlier, but not today. The magic is just not happening. There we go. The non-commercial stakeholder group. Rafiq Damak, the chair for the non-commercial stakeholder group.
I'm sorry for that.
That's okay, babe.
Okay, thanks. sorry, coming late and a little bit unwell, but it's okay. So I think we have 5 minutes to present and getting questions. So, okay. I think the non-commercial stakeholder group is a part of the GNSO and this in the non-contracted party. So it's, the non-contracted party is the place for those who has no contract with ICANN. And the non-commercial stakeholder group is the place for those who has no commercial interest on domain names, in particular it's for civil society, NGOs, non-for-profit, but also for individuals. For example, myself, I'm involved as individuals. I don't represent any other organization. So basically in GNSO, we are focusing on policy for GTLD. We spend our time there. However, we can also follow topics like what we have now about ICANN accountability, INS stewardship, transition, and so on. As a group, we have a diverse membership, many from developing countries. I think we are one of the most diverse group within ICANN. And we really focus on topic, broad range of topic, because our diversity on human rights, privacy, also development and access to domain names. So for example, when there was the launch of, and before that, of the new GTLD program, we really cared about that I can provide support for new GTLD applicant. So we have all those kind of topic. Also people, our membership can bring their interest and want to share with others. So this diversity is our strong point, I think, and make us kind of more representative. While maybe other group, they have more narrow interest in business interest. So as a stakeholder group, we have under us two constituencies. I think you will get introduction about them later. But just in terms of membership, we accept organization and individuals. So, and then when we join the NCAG, you will be able to join one or two or none of those constituency. So it's up to the members. But most of our activities are done at the stakeholder group level. So for example, we elect six councillors to the GNSO Council from NCAG, and those councillors have to represent the diverse point of view within the stakeholder group. And also when there is a cross-community working group, we have also representative, like, for example, in the IANA stewardship and ICANN accountability, but also in the ICG. There are too many acronyms, and I can't remember. Also when there is the review teams and so on. So we have, if you join us, we have that ability to be representative in different tracks, working groups, and so on, that initiated within ICANN. And so we have also the counselor in GNSO Council, where it's the place where the policy are managed. And I think we have one of our counselors here, Amr Sadr, who is a former fellow. So we got people joining us from the fellowship, and they can get to be elected. So we have our annual election. Okay, so this is quite a quick introduction. It's about NCAG. I'd be happy to answer maybe in more details. I think we have also some of our members here as a fellow.
Mm-hmm. I thought it might be interesting, Amr, I saw you back there. I thought it might be interesting if you would come to the mic just to say how you walk through the process of joining the non-commercial stakeholder group and the NCUC. I find that, and I think Rafiq will agree with me, that is one of the things that can feel a little confusing about how you walk through what he just explained so well. But coming from a fellow, I think it might be interesting.
Thanks, Janice. Good morning, everyone. Actually, when I joined NCUC, the procedures were a little different back then. They've changed now, and they may seem to be more complicated, but they're actually not. Right now, and I'm sure Rafiq is going to share this with you, you can join the NCSG through the stakeholder group website or the wiki. And you could indicate there what constituency you would like to join, or you don't actually have to pick one at all. When I was a fellow three times, first time in Seoul in 2009, second time in Nairobi in 2010, and then San Francisco in 2011. And well, I didn't join NCSG and NCUC until between my second and third meetings. So I spent two meetings being a fellow who was very confused and lost, just like everybody else who comes to an ICANN meeting for the first or second time. I think I was looking for where I belong in the community, as I'm sure a lot of you are, if you haven't found the group that you sort of relate to more. And eventually, when I ran into these guys, yeah, I mean, they're the ones I figured were the ones who were the best fit for me. I mean, they sort of presented the policy issues, or they represented the policy issues the way that I would like them to be represented. And so that was something I found to have in common with them. Another thing I found to have in common with the non-commercial stakeholder group and the users' constituency was that I wasn't an individual. I was unaffiliated. I mean, I was affiliated to several organizations at the time, but my participation in ICANN was purely on my own accord as an individual. And I think Janice said this the first day during the meet and greet, right, so that we would really like, I mean, the fellowship, I guess, would really like to see what you all as individuals care about here at ICANN. And I found what I cared about to be at the NCSG. Even got them to come to their first fellowship meeting in San Francisco, if I recall correctly. Yeah. So that's pretty much how it happened. And Rafiq is here until the week is over, so am I. I'll try to come to as many fellowship meetings as I can. And I think later today, this morning, you're going to hear from the NCUC and NPOC chairs as well. So, but please just stop me at any time and ask me questions if you're interested in civil society or non-commercial registrants at ICANN. Thanks. Sorry. Thanks.
Yeah, just quickly about the application process. We have here, you can see the application form. So you have to fill this Google form, and then the executive committee will review it. And if you apply, you will find information about the eligibility, which is quite important to know what are the conditions. And you can contact me for any further information. I will be happy to respond to your inquiries.
Let's see if there's any questions.
Yep.
Are there any questions for Rafiq?
It's too early for
Go down the page. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. That was easy.
That's a request for action. Yes.
Hello, Rafiq. I'm Awal, from a fellow from Bangladesh. So my question is, how NCHG is related to the advisory committee and how they represent their concerns to the board? Thank you.
We are not part of advisory committee, but of supporting organization, which is GNSO. And because the supporting organization are the bodies doing policy. So we are part of the body doing GTLD policy. However, we can have relation with other advisory committee like the ALAG for a long time. Even we have a joint meeting. For the board, first is important, if to influence any process is really to participate in the policy process. When there is this policy development process is to participate in working groups and public comments. But if to discuss directly with the board, there is this opportunity. Even today, we have the joint meeting with the board at 4:45. I'm not sure this or the next room will have that joint meeting with the board, and it's open. If also we want to express a strong opinion, it's also possible to send a letter to the board, and it will be published online in their correspondence page. And more to be more effective, it's really you need to participate in the policy development process. However, we can express opinion, really strong opinion, to the board directly. So.
Yeah, is it possible, Ahmed Isa, Fellowship ICANN Sudan, is it possible to join as individual and also as an organizational body? Because, for example, I'm a chairman of Gadarif Digital City Organization, and I'm not sure how long I will stay on that status. So I want to join as individual and also as an organization. If I left the organization, I will be continuing.
Well, that's tricky, because it raises an issue. If you join as individual and as organization, it's also about voting rights. So we don't really advise that. I join as organization, that then you can represent that organization. And if you leave, you can just reapply to join as individual. So, but it's also, we review many applications. It's kind of, if you find why he's trying to apply for both. You apply for one categories. If you, after you change, and it happened, we have even a former counselor that she left the organization, but then she joined it as individual and she applied again. So it's better to not try to do both.
Rafiq, when you join as a corporation, and I haven't dug into your application process, you have to have some type of approval from that organization that you are the representative for them?
Well, we ask several questions. To give information about the mission, who is president, chairman, whoever of the organization, so on. We try to be flexible as much as possible, but we do due diligence to try to check. There are some situations, for example, even by mistake, someone applied for an existing organization. Mm-hmm. So that's why. It's just we don't ask for a lot of documentation, but we do due diligence to check about particular for organization, but also for individuals. Mm-hmm. For example, if someone is coming, because in GNSO, it's important to separate. You cannot, for example, be of two constituencies, two stakeholder groups. It doesn't work like that. You need to select one, because it's about representation, about vote and influence. So, yeah.
Perfect. Catherine?
Okay. You've covered a bit of my question. I was just wondering if there's a directory of existing member organizations, because I think part of the challenge with NGOs especially is the lack of continuity and with turnover, so that we may not necessarily know that we, you know, belong to an association that's already a member but might not necessarily be active. So it would be an issue of maybe reactivating that membership rather.
So that's why when you apply, we ask you also if you can have an alternate to person that you think, one, the primary, who can vote and so on, but also an alternate. And you can also add other members, but at some limit as observer, so to maintain the participation. And also we, for each election, we have beforehand a check-in process to check, I mean, to find, are you still alive? And can you update, if you want to update any information, so on. It's not an easy process when you have hundreds of members. We are trying to improve that. When we found also some, you know, members that maybe not updating information, we try to reach them and so on. It takes time, but yeah, it's a fact. It's a real challenge. I mean, it's particularly for organization. Sometimes it's you have a person who champion, they say we need to join, but if he leave and so on, so it's hard to mm-hmm. to find a person to take charge after that.
Good morning. My name is Lawrence from Nigeria. I believe that registrars from my part of the continent should really be active with this group, because this is how most of us get to resell domains back home. My question is, what's the benefit? I don't know the proportion of African registrars that are active with the group, but what's the benefit of, and how can this organization be promoted locally back home?
About Africa, well, I am from Africa too, so I mean, I don't think you will see many leaders from Africa and different groups. And also Amr is from Egypt and so on, so we have that. I don't have numbers, but it's, yes, it will be interesting to have hard stats to show that. Regarding, you are asking about reseller?
Mm-hmm.
It's quite tricky. Reseller is a commercial activity. You have commercial interest on domain name. So I think for a reseller, it's better to join the business constituency. There are folks who have commercial interest or commercial activities with domain names. We are really non-commercial. Even if you have non-for-profit NGO or civil society organization, they may do some activities like to sell some stuff, but it's really to maintain their activities, to support their activities. It's not for commercial interest. We care about that. So, for example, if the Chamber of Commerce want to join us, Chamber of Commerce, it's non-for-profit. But it doesn't mean they can join us, because they are defending a commercial interest. So we, every time we have an application, we try to find out. We ask the applicant to explain about their mission and how they get funding and so on, but we try also to do more to be sure they are not part, they should be part of the other side of the GNSO. So for reseller, I think that's business community, a business constituency, the right place for that.
Yeah, and I would also encourage to visit the registrar, and I would be happy to set you up to talk a little bit more with Fabian from the registry and registrar group, from and another young lady, Caitlin, from our staff, and they can explain a little bit more on the reseller point. But I echo Rafiq's vision for you to take a look more at the commercial side. But to talk to one of the staff from the registrar group would be really helpful. So make sure you and I get together. I'll get the introduction done. And we're going to come here for our last question so that we can get Rudy up here on time.
Hi, Anna speaking. So my question was, what's your group's burning topic right now? Like, what are you working on right now? Thank you.
Okay. Sorry. I think, like, most of the groups is accountability and Diana stewardship transition is taking non-negligible bandwidth. But also we have discussion about public interest, because you will find it in the, I think, the ICANN bylaws, but nobody knows exactly what is public interest. And we have this ongoing discussion and see what kind of action we take so we can have a definition of public interest. We also work a lot on who is issues. Who is kind of one of the longest, I guess, policy issues within ICANN for many, many, many years. And we are spending a lot of time in working on that in the different working groups. So, yeah, it's ongoing things. But, yeah, for the time being, maybe the two, the IANA stewardship transition and the ICANN accountability are taking time. But we are still working on the other issue, like the who is. Yeah, basically those kind of things are taking time. But, you know, we have, I mean, maybe just to do that, is we have our public session today at 2 p.m., Brass Pasa room, and then we have at, yes, those are the different, but can you go?
Yeah, no,
yeah, this is all, but. And then we have a joint meeting with the board at 4:45.
It's just taking a little while to get
on. Yes, and we are talking about internet, but internet connection is so slow. So as a group, the challenge for us is to respond to all the public comments from ICANN. We cannot. So we try to prioritize for some of them. And for example, the latest one was about translation and transliteration of contact information. We have many members involved there. I think also the two co-chairs of this working group are from NCIG. So it's kind of topic we care about. We care about IDN, and then we care about translation and transliteration, because this the internationalization and internet. So we have an interest to follow this kind of topic. So and before also we replied to the who is and conflict with national laws. So, I mean, as you see, it's ongoing work. If I may use this time to for the followers to explain, because you heard a lot about learning curve. It takes time. Yes, but it's worthy to invest. What I can advise you is to you cannot follow everything in ICANN. It's not reasonable. It's unrealistic, but to pick your specific interest, what kind of topic you want to get involved. And this even for our members, when they join us, I ask, what's your interest, what you want to do? And try to direct them maybe for a specific working group. Even if you join working group, the idea is not, you don't need to respond to email. Just reading, trying to understand what's going on, reading, the materials and so on, it's already a big step that you are doing. Joining conf call, it's important to listen to what people are saying. You have people who have been involved for many, many years. And listening to them, you can get an understanding of what's going on and to see what kind of dynamics. It's really important to understand what the different group are advocating. So if you see our members, you know, we care about privacy, human rights, access, and so on. Other groups, they have more, like they are defending trademark interest, commercial interest, so on. What I can say, please check our page. It's easy. It's ncsg.is.
You have the link already.
So. Okay. So you can find my contact there. I will be happy to respond to question. You can join us. And if you have any, we have one question.
We're going to go back to Rudy, though. Okay. Have him follow you to the back. We're going to stop. Okay. So thank you so much, Rafiq. I am going to try to keep us on time and bring Rudy from the not-for-profit organizational concerns up to the front. And if you'd like to walk with Rafiq to the back of the room, he can take your question, okay. If you'd like to.
Yeah.
Go now, before I change my mind. Thank you.
Morning, everybody. Good, I see you're awake. Wow. This is the meeting that I'm enjoying the most. You probably are not going to believe me, but I can tell you the reason why. When I see all these enthusiastic, engaged, and energized people, then I'm convinced that what we are doing is good work, and you are energizing us in doing our job. If we would not see newcomers, we would think we are in a dead body because nobody is interested anymore. So it's really good to see so many of them, so many of you coming to these ICANN meetings. I have to say I'm already a kind of veteran. I'm now my 11th year in the ICANN community, and I first spent 7-8 years in building up the at-large, the ALAC. I was on the Uralo board, and 3 years ago people were asking me, maybe what you have been doing in ALAC, you could eventually do this also in another body. And that's where I started being involved in NPOC. NPOC or NPOC, like others are saying, it's the not-for-profit operational concerns constituency, one of the two legs of the NCSG. Our work is focusing essentially on, as our name and our title is saying, focusing on the operational concerns that NGOs in the civil society have when we are talking about the internet ecosystem, first of all, and more specifically when we talk about the domain name space. When we started 4 years ago, because we are still the youngest constituency in ICANN, we are still the baby among all the others, and it takes time before you are able to really start being productive, being involved in the larger discussions. And as you have seen just a few minutes ago, when you had the presentation of the policy statements and the work we are doing, I'm one of the two co-chairs of the Translation and Transliteration PDP Working Group, which is a very interesting one. I learned a lot. Although I should know a lot, I'm still learning. And Amr is also part of this PDP working group. That's where we find the ground for the work that we need to do, and that's where we need also to be present, and not only in this one, but in all the working groups possible, to raise the voice of the not-for-profit organizations. Because that's the space where the policy is developed. That means that when policy is coming out of that, out of these working groups, it's binding for those who are contracted. It means if we are able to raise the concerns and the requirements of the NGOs during this process, Well, when it is implemented, we will still take care of the requirements and expectations and the rights of the NGOs. I think that's very important to know. I don't know, how many are actually of you in an NGO? Raise your hand. Yeah, quite a lot. So it's important that you come to us to bring your concerns, your questions, because we cannot know everything. We try to expand our team in order to be able to cover every type of NGO and also every region, because we have seen that NGOs in Europe, for instance, are completely different from NGOs in Africa. You have other concerns, you have other difficulties, you have other rights that you want to have. And it's important that you come to us with these questions. And to prove that being part of our group enables you also to be engaged at a higher level, one of your previous colleagues, and unfortunately he couldn't make it because his grandfather had a stroke a few days ago, Martin, maybe some of you know him, Martin Silva Valland, he is now one of our officers in NPOC. So you see, there is place, if you really want to engage, it's not just being part of the group, but you can also take up a leadership position. You can also take up responsibility. It's not just joining us. There are different facilities to enable you to be productive. So I think it's important that you know that it is not just being one of the club, but you can also be a leader of the club.
And Martin's online.
And Martin has done that, and he is really marvelous, really. We enjoy his presence because he is also energizing us with all his new ideas, his new feelings. And I think it's one of the elements that we need to take care of. We need to take care of you when you're willing to join. And if you are interested, this morning at 9 o'clock we start a constituency day where we are going through what NPOC does, what is the status. We are inviting also other bodies of the ICANN community to come and explain some of the issues that we want to have clarity on. For instance, we are going to have Xavier Calves from the finance, who is going to explain us why the budget is what it is and why we should try to claim a bit more for our community. And secondly, we are going to have the presence of Tanzania from the meeting team, because we learned that there is a possibility, no, it's almost a certainty, that it's going to be, that there will be a B-type meeting, 4 days long, which we enjoy, of course, except that we don't know how we are going to do. We have now 6-7 day meetings, and yesterday I started at 7, I ended at 11, because I was at the budget committee working group. This morning I'm here at 7 again, will be late again. So you imagine if with 6 days we don't have enough time, how are we going to do with 4 days? Are we not going to sleep overnight? Maybe that's a solution. So you're, and at the end of the session, we are also organizing a webinar. It's the second one of a series that we are going to do. We did one in Washington 3 weeks ago. And the webinar is trying to focus on what are questions, what are aspects that you as a not-for-profit organization have and never dare to ask. So that's quite important, so that you come and listen and ask the questions. So that's a webinar that takes place from 11:30 till 1. And you will always be able to look into it. The webinar will be available online after the session. And to prove that we are having a good collaboration, even inside the GNSO body, We are going to have our first MOU with another partner in the GNSO, the business constituency partner, AFICTA. Those who are from Africa maybe know that organization, is going to collaborate with us on that specific aspect, to reach out to NGOs and to get you all involved and raise your voice. So you're all welcome. And I would say I'm ready for questions if you have some.
Right. And so another acronym, MOU, I mean, everybody should know, Memo of Understanding, but it's an important step within ICANN to establish those formal agreements and how you communicate through those. I had something very great to say about you, and then I dropped it. No, but I did want you to know that Martin, who we're referring to, Martin came to us at the Buenos Aires meeting last November, an alumni of the program, Celia Lerman, who is a lawyer and worked at the university with him there, said, ICANN's in our hometown. You need to go and sit around the table. Tell Janice I sent you. And so that was his first experience and exposure. He just took to us, we took to him. He was what we call an honorary fellow. He even was able to get Fadi to come to the university there at the end of the meeting, as well as arranging tourism for, I think, every single fellow who was in the room. That's the kind of energy he has. Received his own fellowships and assisted me with the booth in London and Los Angeles, then, you know, formally adopted by the non-for-profit organizational concerns and indeed a secretariat. So nice to have you online, Martin. You're here in spirit with us. And to that, I'll open up any questions for Rudy.
Ahmed Issa, ICANN Fellowship Sudan. Do you have a specific procedure for application like what we have seen? And what is the room for the session at 9 o'clock?
Thank you for both of the questions. First of all, with regards to the application, it's the same process. You go to the NCSG, and in this NCSG, the first page that you see is you select individual or organization. And when you select organization, because we are not allowed to have individuals in our structure, when you enter or you click on organization, you get the second page with a lot more information to give, and then you can select the constituency that you want to be part of. So NPOC is listed up, and you click and you get registered for a membership in NPOC. That's the simple way to do. If you have questions, you can always come to us and we can help you through the process. The room where the meeting is going to take place is the room MORE. So it's just aside the registration desk. It's one of the three rooms. And that's where the meeting will take place.
Yeah, the same place that you were in, DNSSEC for Beginners yesterday, to make that easy. Are there some other questions for Rudy? On the overall, yes, I see some more hands, so let's go here and then I'll get a mic.
Hello, everyone. My question is, I'm really kind of struggling to strike the difference. Oh, sorry, I'm Esther from Uganda. I'm really struggling to strike the difference between where you draw the line when it comes to organizational membership, because when my understanding is that NPOC is under NCSG, so NCSG takes up members, organizations can join as members under NCSG, and then. I've also observed that under NPOC, you also register organizations. So I'm wondering two things here. Do Do you get situations where an organization registers twice under NPOC and NCSG? Then secondly, how do you ensure that actually what is discussed, if NCSG registers organizations and you also register organizations, how do you ensure that actually you don't discuss the same issues? Is there some kind of control or filtration method in regard to registration of organizational members?
Thank you for that question, very good question. The first part of your question about registering as an organization in NCSG, NCSG is the entry that you have to go through in order to be a member of NCOC or NPOC. You have to go through NCSG, there is no other way. And because of the history, as I said, we are still a young constituency and we have been added to the group of NCSG. And you can be in both. Constituency is focusing more on what is defined in the charter of the constituency, while the NCSG is the stakeholder group, so it's a group of. The second question about avoiding having similar discussions going on. The work is done most often in the working groups. That's where the things are happening. There is a lot of preparatory work that is done inside the constituencies, but that's related to their specific mission. So in NPOC, we are focusing essentially on the operational concerns for NGOs, for not-for-profit organizations. And there is a lot of work that has to be done. And while, for instance, in NCUC, there are other topics that are of concern for them. Human rights is more, for instance, a topic that they discuss, while for an NGO, human rights is only the second priority. There is another priority for an NGO. Human rights is not the first one. So you see, we try to select on basis of priority of the issues, and that's where we have our own discussions internally. But, as I said, most of the work is done in the working groups. And there is a lot of work, I can guarantee you. At a certain point, I think a year ago, I was in 5 working groups. I just tried to figure out when I could sleep. So, you know, it's quite interesting that the more people we can have in our constituency, the more we can raise the voice of our community. So it's up to you to join, and it's up to you to bring forward the discussions, the topics that we need to work on, to discuss on, and then we bring them in the working groups. And then we will guide you in the working groups. Like I've been doing with several of my colleagues, as I have a so long-standing career in ICANN now, I can easily guide you to where the space where you can be of high value and where your voice will be heard. So it's not a question of, is there discussions between the groups? Yes, of course, we have different views, we have different aspects, and that's where consensus discussions need to happen. But it's essentially raising the issues. That is important. If you don't raise the issue, nobody will discuss about it. Nobody. So it's up to you. Bring them to the table. We have the power to bring it at a higher level. I hope that answers your question.
We're going to take one remote question first, and then Jonathan will come to you for the final question.
Okay, so we have a question from Sarah Kidden. She's saying that would private universities qualify to join NPOC?
Sorry?
Would private universities qualify to join NPOC?
Well, normally a university is a not-for-profit, but we have a little bit of questions about are they seen as a profit organization, yes or no? And more we see this question coming up. It's something that is discussed in the NCSG Executive Committee. Each has 2 participants in the NCSG Executive Committee. We have 2 people from NCSG, 2 from NCUC, and 2 from NPOC. And we discuss, as Rafik has explained, there is a due diligence process, and we try to figure out, and we will look into to see if really a university, or in that case that you're presenting, if that university is fitting in the profile that we have in NPOC. If it's really a not-for-profit, they can, but they have to really justify that they are a not-for-profit and that it's not a body that is getting money more in commercial context than in a private context.
Thank you. And we'll go to Jonathan for our last.
Good morning. Jonathan, first-time fellow from Burundi. My question is, except for the community raised questions, what are your plans, your future plans, and what's the limitation of area of impact on a question raised by the community? Thank you.
Thank you for the question. First of all, plans for the future. Well, as you most probably learned during these first days in ICANN, it's not easy to predict the future. As we have seen that for instance, the IANA transition was not something that we had on our agenda on the radar. So it happened because there was a decision taken that the IANA transition was a priority. Our plans for the near future is to try to help essentially and find a way of clarifying, for instance, to give you one sample that we discovered in the last 3-4 months while reaching out to NGOs and not-for-profit organizations. We discovered that many of them lost their domain name within a period of 2-3 years. And when we asked why they lost it, we were a bit surprised. They didn't know that they had to renew it. So that's already something that triggers us and say, hey, we need to learn, NGOs, not-for-profit organizations, that how the mechanism works. And we know that some of the registrars are taking advantage of the fact that the NGO doesn't know how it works, and they register the domain name, look into a few years activity, if there is enough bandwidth, they capture it. That's what we discovered. So our plans are to work on helping NGOs to understand how this domain name space works, how you can have your domain name, what are your rights to have a domain name, because that's where it starts. And it's part of our session in the webinar. The first one is touching upon the technology part of the discussion, and yes, indeed, be present on social media is interesting, but you're feeding a big body. You're losing your identity among all the others. With your domain name, you have your own name, your own brand, your own identity. And that's important. And that's one of the focuses that we are actually highlighting. And our plans for the future, well, you are going to define them, not me. You are going to define them. You are going to tell us, look, this is a problem that we have. Please help us. That's why we are there. That's why NPOC exists. And we will try to find a way through the whole mechanism in the GNSO to get up to the space where we can say, okay, this is a policy that has to be developed to protect the rights of the NGOs. So I hope I answered your question. And if you have others, please come and join us during the discussions and bring them up.
We're just ready to hand over to Bill Drake from the non-commercial users constituency. But while Bill sips his coffee, if there's one more question, we could take the one more. Let's do that. Let's take just one more, if you don't mind, Rudy.
No problem. Thank you, and good morning to everyone. My question has to do with codes of Spencer Thomas, Grenada. Whether or not there are any codes of conduct for NGO behavior in this process, and whether or not when you apply, I understand that there is a criteria to become a member. Is there a criteria to not to be fired for or to remove from membership? And are there any liability issues once you become a member?
Thank you for the question. As long as you don't kill me, I will not fire you. And if I'm killed, I cannot fire you anyway. So, no, we don't have actually, well, there are some rules that you can find in the charter. You can find in the charter of the NCSG and in our charter of NPOC. But in most cases, the moment you're, you can no longer prove that you're a not-for-profit organization, we will ask you to move into the body where you're fitting in. So that's one of the criteria that we are taking care of and we consider. But actually, there is no real process in the sense of you're not active enough, we are kicking you out. We all need you, and we know. Don't forget, we're all volunteers. If you remove the volunteers of ICANN, well, you need one third of this room, and that's it. Why we are occupying a whole conference center is because we have all these volunteers. And without you, it's going to be difficult to put an open multi-stakeholder system in place. It's because you're raising your voice. And I don't see actually no reason to say we have to fire members. The only one is the moment that you're no longer a not-for-profit, we will come to you and say, look, maybe it's better to move into another part of the body of ICANN where you can really be an added value. We have to avoid that NPOC is controlled at the end by structures that are not in the not-for-profit. So we protect our shelf by saying, okay, only not-for-profits.
Thank you, Rudy, very much. I see another hand raised, so I'll ask you to step to the back of the room and talk to Rudy as we get Bill Drake from NCUC here so we can stay on time. Rudy, thank you so very much, as always. Thank you. And again, he'll be in the more. Two things just to say. A reminder from yesterday and Sunday. We have the headsets here. So if French or Spanish are your primary language, and that would be the easier way to listen and to ask your question, you can do so. So if you're in the back of the room, not on the table, there are other headsets where you first came in, and then you just find your channel, and that to make it easier for you to include yourself. And so whenever, again, you're in the at-large room, which is the VIP, in the GAC room, which is Collier, in the Canning or Padang, which are the main and secondary rooms, we always will have interpretation, minimum French and Spanish, and in the main room, we have the five UN languages. So always avail yourself of the headsets, and as long as we are streaming in that language, you can ask questions and listen back and forth. The second thing I'm going to impart is that I may not have made enough of a sell point on. Capacity building, we talked about, that is fellowship. That was the reason we had fellowship begin in 2007 as a capacity building, especially in our developing nations and least developed nations. So when Rudy is talking about having to be on five working groups, this is why we need you. You know, we will be very honest. We need to spread the wealth. We need more people who are actually saying, I'll take the pen this time. I'll take the notes. I'll make sure this happens. So initially, to be the person going on mailing lists, reading, listening to the people who have been engaged, whether it's for 2 months or 2 years or 20, that is important so that you gain some knowledge. But we are looking for people like Martin who are getting ready and willing to join in the work. So with that, I introduce Bill Drake from the non-commercial users constituency.
Good morning, everybody. You're going to pull up ours? Thank you. Yes, I'm Bill Drake. I teach at the University of Zurich, and I was just recently elected to my third and final term as chair of the non-commercial users constituency. So I'm looking for,
looking forward to transitioning after this year. NCUC was created in 1999 at the beginning of ICANN to advocate for human rights and civil liberties in the ICANN environment. Our objective is to promote the interests of non-commercial stakeholders and to preserve non-commercial spaces that have not been sort of taken over completely by large industry interests or governmental interests that in any way restrict or inhibit the freedom of speech, privacy, and other rights of individuals around the world who are users of the internet. We have, I don't even remember, can you click on, I don't have my glasses on, isn't that terrible? I'm not awake yet. Member.
Become a member?
Well, is there a list of members?
Mailing list?
Oh, hell.
Members about, members, yes, gotcha.
Yeah, there we go. If you could click on that. Voila. So, Janice, tell me what it says there, because I didn't bring my glasses.
That's okay. NCUC's membership has reached 386 members from 87 different countries, including 100 non-commercial organizations and 286 individuals.
There we go. Thank you very much. So we're about 400 members, 100 NGOs, including many major civil liberties and consumer-oriented NGOs working on development issues and things like that, freedom of expression, and so on. So you can look at the list there if you're interested. We're very transparent about who we are and so on. Members like the Association for Progressive Communication, Article 19, and et cetera. We have many members, and we also have, as Janice noted, about 300 individual members. One thing that is distinctive, I suppose, about NCUC is that it is one of the few places in the ICANN environment, I think, where an individual who is not representing an organization per se can join and actively participate in decision making by voting for in our elections and standing for positions, for example, as a counselor in the GNSO or other kinds of leadership positions and participate in working groups and all that. So we are very much geared towards trying to facilitate the engagement of non-commercial stakeholders from around the world. I think, I haven't looked at the numbers recently, but I believe about two-thirds of our members are from outside the United States and Canada. So we are a heavily globalized group of people. And what are we about? Well, we are very much concerned with the kinds of issues that are mentioned in this slightly out-of-date brochure, but it gives you some sense of things. Above all, protecting human rights, freedom of expression, privacy, diversity, consumer choice, access to knowledge. We're very concerned about, oh my God, look at that.
Just thought I'd do that for you.
Don't do that. Access, I find that disturbing.
Could you okay, we'll that? Get that
off. I'll look at a picture of myself. it's too early in the morning. Access to knowledge, so we're very concerned about the overextension of trademark protections by intellectual property interests and the ways in which those may restrict freedom of expression and so on. We're very interested in development questions and have worked a lot on concerns of developing countries in the GNSO GTLD policy environment. We're very involved with internet governance more generally. And have been actively engaged in many different kinds of spaces like the Internet Governance Forum. Many of our members are very active, including myself, in various United Nations type contexts, as well as newer initiatives like the Net Mundial Initiative, et cetera, which attempt to try to build a multi-stakeholder representation in global policy discussions. We do a lot of things beyond simply electing an executive committee every year and helping to elect people to the GNSO Council. We do a lot of things like organizing events. We've held numerous big policy conferences, most recently here in Singapore a year ago. Before the Net Mundial meeting, I organized a large... Oh, thank you, Janice, you're good at this. organized this conference, ICANN and the Global Internet Governance, The Road to Sao Paulo and Beyond, which was a broad community-wide discussion about the upcoming Net Mundial meeting that was held in Sao Paulo, which, as you may know, adopted a multi-stakeholder declaration of principles and a roadmap for the evolution of the Internet governance ecosystem. And the Net Mundial initiative is intended to try and build on that trajectory by trying to create a platform for people to come together and partner on different aspects of internet governance, capacity building, policy making, research, so on. So we do, like I say, a lot of organizing events, getting people involved in the process, getting them put into working groups and other kinds of organizations or initiatives within the ICANN environment that are engaged in policy development. And we are actively trying to expand our efforts to play a facilitative role, in particular for new members, because one of the things that we often find is that new members have a little bit of difficulty locating, what is that? Have a little bit of difficulty locating exactly where they should be involved in the process in ICANN. So, in fact, we have these teams that I initiated, which is brings together regular members from NCUC as well as representatives of the executive committee who are elected to work on different types of functional issues. And one of the new ones we've just created is a membership affairs team, which will be focusing on inReach and helping new members get scaled up. And Waleed, are you back here?
Can we give Waleed a mic?
Waleed is going to be the coordinator. He's a former fellow, and he's going to be coordinating this initiative. Could you just maybe say a word about what we're going to be doing there?
Yes, certainly. I mean, we've realized that we have somewhat of a large membership base, as mentioned earlier, up to around 400. Yet engagement is a little bit low. So the level of engagement, we have been hypothesizing, thinking of ways of why members are not as engaged as we'd like them to be. So we have established this particular team to look into ways of getting more engagement. And so it's basically once they've stepped into NCUC, they're at the entrance now. We want them to get in and be involved and engage and discuss and find ideas in which they could feel more passionate about. One thing that I think is very important here is that there's no set agenda. So you can actually bring in your ideas and formulate them so that you can actually become an active member of the constituency. So basically that's what we're trying to do. And perhaps if you attend today's meeting, you'll get to see one of our efforts, which is to understand through feedback via a survey that we're doing, what is it that you're passionate about, what obstacles that you may be facing in terms of engagement, what ideas that you have in terms of suggestions so that we can do our job better in engaging you. So these are basically what we're trying to do through the membership.
Thank you, Waleed. Just to be clear about this, when Waleed says participation is low, I think the way I would qualify that is, if you look at the total number of members that we have, and you look at the number of members who are very actively engaged in a lot of the inner core activities, we don't manage to bring everybody into the process, but we do have, in fact, a substantial number of people who are very actively engaged in working in different types of GNSO working groups, cross-community working groups, and various other initiatives. We've been launching things in collaboration with other parts of the community. So, for example, tomorrow there will be a meeting about human rights in ICANN, and that's an initiative that we started in collaboration with the Council of Europe and the some representatives from the Government Advisory Committee. To try to mainstream human rights considerations into policy processes. And we have many types of things like that. So we do actually have a very active core of people who've been very much deeply engaged in the INA transition debate, the accountability debate, all the new GTLD policy initiatives, who is privacy, all these things. It's just that relative to the total population of people, we'd like to have more engagement. And one can engage at various levels. I mean, this is, of course, normal, right? I mean, some people will join a network like NCUC or any other civil society coalition you might see in other policy spaces because they support the fundamental objectives and they want to be part of a discussion, et cetera. And so they'll participate on dialogues on our mail list, et cetera. But when it comes to actively coming to meetings and being part of a working group that's got an ongoing work program, et cetera, sometimes we don't get as many people there as we'd like. So that's what we're trying to do. And of course, you know, people can participate at the level that's appropriate to, for their interest. So that's standard. We have today, Constituency Day is it's a big day for people in the community. And we do a 3.5 hour session, sounds long, but there's a half hour coffee break, where we have rather vibrant dialogues and debates on some important issues. And today's meeting will be from 9:30 to 1 o'clock. You are all welcome to participate. Very often members of the Fellows Program have come along to our Constituency Day meetings and ended up joining NCUC afterwards. It's entirely up to you. We will be talking about some organizational matters in terms of initiatives that we're undertaking to expand the base of activity and engage with different parts of the community. And then we'll have two substantive discussions that will be on fairly important topics. We will have Assistant Secretary of Commerce Larry Strickling from the U.S. government, the key person with regard to the IANA transition. And Fiona Alexander, who's the head of international affairs, also in the U.S. Department of Commerce for all the internet governance stuff. They will be coming over, and we'll be spending an hour talking about the IANA transition and accountability. We've had them several times before as well. They've been ongoing friends of ours in taking forward the discussions about IANA and accountability. And then after that, we will have a discussion about the notion of the global public interest, because the notion of the public interest is actually, oddly enough, not well-defined or understood in the context of ICANN. And one would think that it's fairly central because, after all, the term the public interest is written into the bylaws. It's in the affirmation of commitments between the United States and ICANN, which governs the accountability mechanisms we have now. It is central to a lot of different aspects of ICANN's work, and yet there's never been any effort to really nail down a very clear understanding of what we mean by the global public interest. And indeed, different actors often claim to be working to advance the public interest when they're really pushing their own particular interest under that label. So it's a problematic concept. And we will have a discussion including Megan Richards, who's the key person in the European Commission, to share with us how the Europeans are thinking about these issues, and Nora Abusita, who's the head of a department that's been established within the ICANN organization dealing with public responsibilities, and Nora will talk a little bit about their work on the public interest as well. So it should be a very lively discussion. We are very active volatile and animated group of people. A lot of academics and a lot of activists, so it's usually a lot of fun. So I encourage you all to come. And I will stop there, and I'm getting laryngitis, which is a little bit of a cause for concern because I have to run a lot of meetings today. but I would like to take questions. So anybody, please feel free.
You're with me.
Oh, you are so wonderful. Mama J, she takes care of everybody. So please, any questions, and identify yourself when you ask a question so I know who you are, where you're from. So can we start this young lady over here, please?
And I'm just going to let you know, Bill, the fellowship just got moved underneath the Public Responsibility Department.
Oh, really?
So that's where we sit now.
Wow. Et voilà.
It's Aman from Yemen.
Hi.
First-time fellow. According to the issues you as NCUC discuss or care about, what was the most effective goals that you reach, not just decisions made, according to these issues? Because they're all out of ICANN's responsibility or out of ICANN's ability to force the governments to do. So how can you affect in these issues?
Thank you. It's an interesting question. Actually, I think these issues are very much central to ICANN's activities. And what we have done is precisely to try to ensure that in the policy process, for example, if you look at the way the WHOIS database is operated, that the protection of privacy of individuals is promoted. And so we have tried to take some of the sharp edges off some of the more... Well, how can I characterize it? Some of the policies that have been promoted by the intellectual property community and the law enforcement community that have sort of tried to compel everybody who's operating a website to be completely visible with their personal details, etc. I have friends who have been had their lives threatened because they're doing human rights work in developing countries that where the situation is difficult, and they were looked up using the WHOIS database. And then tracked down and then harassed. So protecting the privacy of people, protecting freedom of expression so that you don't have governments deciding that certain types of strings, character strings in GTLDs or uses of GTLDs are prohibited because they're simply not acceptable to them on political grounds and so on. These are important things. They're integral to ICANN's work, and we have been working very hard in the GTLD policy process to promote them. And we have been doing that for 15 years. And so a lot of policies that might have been, I think, a little bit more negative from the standpoint of human rights and civil liberties have been softened and made to reflect a broader set of considerations by virtue of the fact that we have worked hard on these things. And this is true, I think, for many of these issues, you know, whether the access to knowledge and so on. These questions are, in fact, integral to the way in which ICANN operates, and we work as a voice for civil society advocacy within that space because that's the case. So, yes.
Hello, Anna speaking. So my question is actually a follow-up on what I've asked you or what I've asked on my first day. So, in case your initiative with this human rights working group, you've been talking about this, is successful. So your working NCUC's issues are, well, mainly human rights. So does that, will you still be dealing with these issues if such working group will be created?
Sure. No, I mean, we participate in broader collaborations within the ICANN community. So, for example, I'm very active in the cross-community working group on internet governance, as an example, which met yesterday. I think you were there. And NCUC, maybe you weren't, I can't remember. There were a lot of people in the room. NCUC participates in other larger activities, but that doesn't mean that we don't continue to do our own work. We adopt policy statements and so on. Most of our work with regard to the GNSO, though, is done at the stakeholder group level. We mostly would adopt policy statements through the stakeholder group level that go into the GNSO policy process. But maybe I'm not getting what you're asking, Anna, so let's try and remember.
Yeah, so maybe I'm not grasping something. So there is NCUC that is dealing with human rights issues, right, in ICANN. Mm-hmm. And you also are advocating for creating a human rights working group within the ICANN.
We are suggesting that there be a dialogue about the possible construction of a cross-community working group on human rights.
Okay. Maybe I'm. I don't get something.
We want to work with governments and other actors to try to raise the profile of human rights considerations across the range of ICANN policy processes. And in order to do that, we are trying to form this group. We've one of our members, Article 19, together with some other people, have written a couple of documents that will be discussed at this meeting tomorrow to try to outline some of the human rights issues that arise in ICANN, and we will continue to push that forward.
Okay. Work in progress.
It's a work in progress, yes. We started this in London. We've been pushing as members of the GNSO Council We've been pushing human rights considerations there for 15 years, but in terms of trying to create a larger structure that would include representatives from the GAC, representatives from at-large, representatives from the CCNSO, and so on, that's a new initiative. And that started in London just this past summer when we held a meeting at NCUC and had people come over from the European Commission and the GAC to talk with us about how we could begin to do this.
Now, I'm going to give this over to Navid because he has himself and a couple others that he's identified. So we do have about, I would say, 6 minutes or so.
This is mine?
Yes.
Oh. My name is Navid from Pakistan. I've just become a member of NCUC.
Well done.
So,
good choice.
First, an announcement to make. If any of my fellow wants to join NCUC or NPOC, I can help you through the process, so you can contact me, and I can be of help, and I can pass your names on or arrange a meeting for you if you want an individual meeting or whatever. My question and a little suggestion to you people is that I would be happier to have kind of an orientation session, like an extended session that you can have during an ICANN meeting, whenever you may schedule it, so as to encourage newcomers, to provide them a platform, to give an update of which policies you are currently engaged in, and where they can be most productive if they want to join your platform. Because here we have kind of that, but in like 20 minutes, you cannot discuss the policies, the aspects, the working groups, and all that. So one of your team members can do that kind of an orientation, and I can do it later on, I mean, maybe a year later. Mm-hmm. But that would be very helpful, because that's what I look for as a new member of NCUC. So that'll be kind of great. The second thing is kind of what you have already touched, because I've been following this NCUC and CSG processes since a year almost, since London meeting, and whichever working group I went through and the NCUC meetings, I saw similar faces, I mean, same kind of faces. So is there lack of volunteers or something else? That's my question that I have.
Okay, thank you. First, as far as an orientation session, that's an interesting idea. The challenge, of course, is always in ICANN meetings, the schedule is so packed, and people are all working. So from the first day that we arrive, the GNSO starts on Saturday. All of our counselors and all of our participants are in the GNSO meeting all Saturday and Sunday. Then you get into Monday, and it's the president's opening and so on, and then pretty soon it's the whole trajectory. So the question would become where we would try and slot something like that in and populating it. But it's a good idea, and it's something that you should raise it again during the meeting today. And see if we can get people interested in doing it. We need volunteers. As to the number of volunteers, I mean, I would say, I don't know what exactly you've gone to or whatever, but I think if I had to guesstimate, I'd say we have maybe like 3 dozen people who are really actively, deeply engaged in different types of things, different types of processes, whether it's the accountability stuff or the INS stuff or different aspects of GTLD, privacy, etc. And then we have a lot, as I said, they're sort of circles. There's like a hardcore inner circle of people who come to all the meetings, engage in all the working groups, and really commit themselves to it. Then there are people who are a little bit less active, but they dip their toe in from time to time, check things out. Then there's other people who really just kind of want to be part of the network and talk online, but they don't come to ICANN meetings. And so you've got different levels of engagement. And what we're trying to do is create more of a path to move people from that broader circle into the inner circle of really active people. But we've been quite successful in that. I mean, I don't want to downplay this. We've got a number of people now who, over the past 2 or 3 years, have become central to our hardcore grouping of workers who have come in through the Fellows Program and through other mechanisms. So we do get new people cycling in and really committed. The folks who are very involved in the Human Rights Initiative in particular are all people who've joined in the past 2 years, I'd say, most of them. So, yes.
Hi, I'm Sidra. I'm a first-time fellow from Pakistan. My question to you would be the domain and the areas, the issues that you're trying to address at the NCUC, they are very wide and they're very diverse. Like, even if I was to look at it from a Pakistani perspective, I can tell you that there's so many sections of how people would view a similar issue. So my key question would be, how do you address it within a diverse group that comes together from all parts of the world? I mean, something may be high on my agenda as a human right issue, but for another person, it may not be of that much value. Is it depending on how many internet users a community or a country has to offer? With that regard, again, we would fare really badly, because in Pakistan, there are only about 10 to 16% of the people, of the entire population, that is connected via the internet. And then there is an ensuing debate about how they're really the haves of the society and not the have-nots. So the perspectives are very different. If you can perhaps elaborate on that. And also, it may come across as very elementary. I don't really understand the relationship between NCUC and NCSG, if you can just relate.
Okay, you've given me several different questions there. So thank you very much. First of all, the last part I'll do first. NCSG, again, this is all complicated. NCUC was the civil society body starting in 1999. In 2011, we had a restructuring of the generic name supporting organization that grouped different parts of the industry into these stakeholder groups, these larger structures. And when that was done, NCUC was folded under this umbrella of the NCSG, and NPOC was created to represent more the trademark interests, intellectual property interests around, operational interests around nonprofit organizations. So we have two constituencies working together within a stakeholder group on policies in the GNSO, where we interact with the commercial stakeholder group, the registries and the registrars, in actually shaping policies. And this is one of the things I think has to be understood about being a civil society participant in ICANN, as opposed to working in, say, a United Nations type body, and I've done a lot of work there too. But we actively can drive policy. I mean, in the UN, basically governments are taking the decisions, and you go and represent your interests, and you say, please don't do this, please try to consider doing that, et cetera, and you try to influence their decision. In ICANN, you could directly participate in shaping the policy process and policy outputs. So the policies that come out of the GNSO and go to the board of directors and become the way in which the internet operates in terms of names and numbers, you can directly impact that. So that's a very important thing compared to other spaces. Now, in terms of your question about how do we deal with the different size of countries or something, that doesn't matter to us. Anybody who is part of our community, who comes to us and says, I have issues, I have concerns, I want to push this forward, we will try to help them do that. And people who want to support that will get on board with it. So it doesn't matter if you're a small country or a large country. That's not relevant. And quite frankly, many of the issues that are of concern to a smaller country will also ramify for people in larger countries as well. So, I mean, that's really not so much of an issue for us. I will say that as in any other kind of civil society type space like this, there are differences of viewpoint. So some of our members are much more interested in development considerations than others. That's natural. People who, you know, people's interests get driven by their own local circumstances and the world they live in. So some members will be more animated by certain issues and they'll work on those. Other members will be more animated by other issues and they'll work on those. No, we don't force everybody to work on any one thing. It's a platform in which anybody can take forward anything they want to work on and find partners who want to do it with them.
Mm-hmm. Well done. I am going to have to move on to our next speaker, Tracy Hackshaw from the Government Advisory Committee, in order again to stay on time. Bill, thank you so very much, and I encourage those who have a question. I know Bill has got to get prepared for his next meeting. If you would like to follow him to the door, I will let him say time or no time to answer what you have. But he does need to prepare for his next meeting. So.
But thank you very much, and I'm sorry about my voice, which is a little bit of a concern. You're certainly welcome to come to our meeting. It is in, I can't read, Hullett, the Hullett Room, which is on the other side, starting at 9:30. And then afterwards, there's the NCSG meeting, and then NCSG meets with the Board of Directors, which is always a pretty lively exchange. So you're welcome to participate in any of those activities, and look us up, and you can certainly always find me online and so on. Okay? And I know you were raising your hand. I'm sorry. But...
All right, good morning, everyone. All right. How are you going today? Is it a break? All right, maybe you can get back to your seats, if you don't mind.
Folks, we have to move very quickly through this next part, so if you could all just come and gather back here quickly. We need to move very quickly through Tracy's part, as the next session does need to begin as well.
So for the change, governments are going to get to be quick. All right, so I'm Tracy Hackshaw. I'm from Trinidad Tobago. That's in the Caribbean region. Anybody here from the government? Can a show of hands? One, two, anybody else?
James, government. He's not focused. There he is.
Yeah.
Zimbabwe.
Four. All right. So the GAC, as you may have heard in your first session, is the Governmental Advisory Committee, and that committee is one of the ACs, and I guess you would have heard about that on your first session, in that they provide advice. They don't make policy, and they provide advice. On the projector, we have what is the GAC. I'm just quickly going through that. We are about 150-odd members. These are country members now. And about 32 observers, so about 182 member representatives in the GAC, and growing at about 10% per year. So by next year, we expect to have 160-odd members from a country standpoint. We're growing very rapidly amongst developing countries, And part of that, I would imagine, is because of the outreach that ICANN is doing, as well as through the fellowship program. We are seeing many more African, Caribbean, and some Pacific islands coming into the GAC. And as you might be aware, there are many of those countries who are not currently on the GAC. So for those who are in countries that are not on the GAC, to know that, you go to the GAC website and look for members and see if your country is represented. If it's not represented, I encourage you to go back home and to find out if they're interested in joining the GAC. The reason for this is that decisions are being made here that affect much of what you're doing on the internet at the infrastructure level, at the DNS level. Without a voice at the governmental level, we could have some challenges going forward if you're not able to have your say and decisions being made on your behalf by other countries if you're not participating. So keep that in mind. I'm going to move very quickly to what the GAC does. So on the GAC website, we actually started putting up our full agenda. So as we become more open as a GAC, as a committee, we are showcasing what we are doing in the meetings. All of our meetings are now open except for the communique drafting session. And that's something that is reasonably new. Last couple of years, that became a recommendation out of a review committee that was between the board and the GAC members. We had recommendations. And all of our meetings are now open, everyone except on the communique drafting, which is on the Wednesday afternoon. So from today, Saturday, Sunday, when we first came in, Wednesday morning, and even Thursday morning, you're going to see open sessions that you can join. And if you look at some of the agenda topics here, the agenda topics are of interest to many people. The GTLD safeguards issue is a cybersecurity issue that, for those who don't know that what's going on there, it means that these new programs that are emerging out of the GTLD program, so the new right of the .doctor.health, some of these are regulated industries, and some of these sectors need to understand that it's not the same thing as a .com, because you certainly don't want to go to a .health or a .doctor site and have a situation where fraudulent activity is taking place. So the GAC has advised that we put safeguards in place, and we are discussing that with ICANN as to how best to develop these safeguards and make them work. To do that, we've actually started working with law enforcement. They're here in this meeting. I believe they met yesterday at a workshop, and a public safety working group is being formed with the government and law enforcement to ensure that as the DNS expands, as the internet grows, it doesn't outgrow the existing law enforcement measures that are currently in place. And not only law enforcement, but also proactive measures to ensure that the internet is protected and safe. In addition, there are a series of other topics. Obviously, the INA transition, the framework of interpretation working group issues, as well as today we are meeting with a series of constituencies. As you know, today is constituency day, so we meet with constituencies. They come to us and we talk and we exchange views. And a new emerging feature is the board GAC meeting, which used to be on this evening, is now moved to Wednesday morning, 8:30 a.m. Mm-hmm. So that's very early.
Very early.
And that's the hot selling ticket in the ICANN meeting. So if when you're finished with the fellowship program tomorrow morning, I'm inviting you to attend that meeting, because that's where you'll see a series of exchanges between the governments and the board, which could be quite entertaining, depending on how you want to view it. I'm going to, given the time, I'm going to kind of stop there. Suffice to say that I was a fellow, just like all of you. I'm Tracy Akshaw. I'm an ICANN fellow. And let it not be said that you come to the meeting and you don't understand every part of ICANN. By that I mean, I know it's confusing for first-time groups, but don't be afraid to go to a meeting, like a government meeting in particular, And if you're not sure if you can attend, come to the meeting, listen to what's happening, talk to people there. Most people are fine. They're human beings. They'll talk to you, yeah. Especially if they're a fellow. They understand you're a fellow. They would share with you. So one advice I want to leave to you is don't stick only to one area, at least in your first meeting. Broaden your scope. Go to as many meetings as you can. I did. And find your home. I'm sure you would have heard that said to you before from Sunday. Come to the government meetings, understand what's going on, and for those people who are in countries that don't have GAC members, please ensure that you make your GAC representatives emerge and come to meetings. And for those who do have GAC representatives, my advice to you is to find out who they are, get their contact information, and start lobbying them for issues that you may have as a civil society member, as an NGO, as an academic institution, or so on. So make sure and use the system that you have. In many cases, email addresses are still online on the GAC website, which will be changing shortly. But for the time being, I believe they're still online. They may have removed that. But you can contact them directly there. And if not, you can simply go to your home country and find out who they are using their names and ministries or department addresses. All right, so I'll stop there in interest of time and take any questions. Thank you.
And I actually have to say that we do need to wrap up to move out of this room. But what I'm going to do is talk with Tracy, see if in his busy schedule as he's stepping down and, you know, getting all of his work done, if he might have an opportunity, and it's perhaps on Wednesday afternoon, I might be able to, you know, ask him to come for a beer or something, but that maybe on Wednesday afternoon he could come and we could gather. We already have a session room available, but it depends on his schedule. Also, I'll see if he has some time to stop by the booth, and then I would put that information out that he would be there, because he is a wealth of information from an overall standpoint about engagement in ICANN, but as well just a great introduction into how to put your voice into the government, how to get your government working, as he said, harder for you, and to help you understand how, no matter what sector you are from, your voice can be heard through the GAC. Okay, so really important things that he said very quickly here, but very important statements, because oftentimes we step back and say, oh, it's the GAC, I guess, you know, that's not the place for me. Well, maybe not as the representative, but certainly to be there to hear the opinions of the government, to hear their interests and concerns, and also to see if you have an awake GAC representative and if they're aware of the concerns. So very important. And Tracy, thank you for going so quickly through. And you and I will get together and see if we can find some time, because I know there's hands and questions. So folks, this morning, thank you again for your unbelievable attention to everyone here, your great questions. I have gathered questions from those who have given them to me, and we'll get them to the correct chairs and have them do responses back. So continue to, if you need to, send questions through me to anyone. Or let me know that you would like to meet up with Tracy sometime, or this. You know, I'm here to facilitate those introductions. Stop at the booth if you're confused about the agenda. Talk to your coach. Talk to me. Have a great day, everybody.